The title this morning would be, God Wants You to Prosper. I'm not just trying to preach you a prosperity message here. I'm gonna show you what prosperity is. Not just money. I don't want to say it's on the bottom of the list with God. Everything's important to God, but God wants me and you to prosper. God wants us to, He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be well. He wants us to walk in divine health. I've been cut all up, surgeries, broke arms and all of that. None of that defines me. You know why? Because I identify with Him and what His Word says. This body that we're in is just a temple. It's a vehicle that we're using here, you know, until we get there. God wants us well. He wants us, you know, divinely well. You know, we believe in doctors. I mean, I believe in medicine and all of that stuff. But there's times in people's lives when that can't help them anymore, right? They can't do nothing for them. You know, they're crippling off the right, all kinds of stuff, you know. But there's a place in God that we walk, praise God, that none of these things can attach itself to us, and we walk with divine health, hallelujah. You know, I thought about the scripture this morning. It's in Psalms 34:19. I'm going to give you about Jesus here in a minute, because I like to lay down what I tell you and preach from scripture, because that is where you're built up in truth, right? Jesus said, you know, Teresa said it, if you continue in my word, so shall you be my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Darkness. See, Jesus, I didn't know it, but the God of this world had blinded my heart and mind before I came to Jesus Christ. Once I surrendered to Jesus Christ, light came. I'm talking about instantly, I mean light came to me, you know. And then I begin to realize, you know, as I begin to walk with God through the Word, through fellowship, through going to church, listening to preaching, however God brings light to you, I begin to realize that life was way better than what I knew it was before I got saved. I begin to realize that there was a life that I could not see till I give my heart to Jesus Christ. I realized, and through Scripture, through knowledge of God, through His Word, I begin to realize that I am a wealthy man. Now, people can criticize you and me all they want to, but don't turn loose of the Word. Don't turn loose of the plan and the vision God has for you. No matter what the world says, they don't gripe about pornography having jets and driving limos and those that own all of that and Budweiser and all the drug cartels drive their limousines and all of that, you know, and they don't really complain about that, you know, and all of that. But once you begin to prosper, Jesus said it. He said, if you're going to live like God, godly, He said, you're going to be persecuted. Well, you know, I read in the scripture where it said, one day it says, Jesus was praying. Jesus was telling God, He said, Father, I pray that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I read that, all of a sudden I had this wonder why it is in heaven. I didn't know nothing about heaven. At that point, that was the Holy Spirit. See, when I read that, when you're reading or you're hearing preaching or you're praying or whatever, and something means something to you, that is light coming to you, and do not throw it away. Do not go from it. Stay. Right there. You take that, and you say, God, give me understanding. I believe you're trying to reveal something to me, God. God, give me understanding in why this is happening. So anyways, I thought, I wonder how it is in heaven. So I begin to look up and try to find, it's real easy today. I had to go get a Strong's Concordance and big thick book. And man, I mean, you had to do some digging. Now you can just pull your phone up and punch in something and it'll show you where all the scriptures are. So it's quickly. You can find out what it took me hours in a second or so because of God's goodness. Technology, if we use it right, is God's goodness to us. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, I began to read it. I began to find out, and over a course of not too long, you know, I realized, praise God, that I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. I found out that there's walls of jasper and onyx. I found out that it's beautiful there. Right? I found out there's no more tears. There's no more sorrows. I found out that there's mansions. Right? Jesus went up there to prepare a place. I'm not living in a broke-down house trailer when I get there. Well, Jesus prayed. See, now you got to go to the Word. I'm not just preaching you a sermon. Jesus was telling the Lord, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And that was a revelation to me. I thought, glory to God. Woo! I told the Lord, oh, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Down here, God, as it is in heaven. If Jesus can pray it, and I'm supposed to be a follower of Him, a disciple of Him, a learner of Him, a multiplier of Him, well, then, by God, I want it too. That's God's will for you. I'm not against trailers. I'm not speaking against that. I'm telling you, praise God, that God wants you to prosper. I don't care if you are 120. I'm going to leave an inheritance. So I'm telling you, praise, I'm just liable to leave people land when I leave here. I want this to go to so-and-so, and we want this to go to so-and-so, and we want God because you did it. You did it, God. See, we were down there, me and Teresa. We wasn't saved, and we would say and think to ourselves, if somebody would just give us a break, if somebody would just give us a little bit of land, if somebody would just give us a car, if somebody would just, we was looking to everybody but the Lord. We didn't know what we. But once we got saved and born again, God began to reveal Himself to us little by little in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God that He is our supply. He is our strength. He is our shield. He is our buckler. He is our healer. He is our El Shaddai. He's our provider. He is our breakthrough. He is your breakthrough. But the Bible says in Psalms 34, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what happens to them? Did that change? I've been reading this for 30 years, and I've used it for 30 years in the afflictions. I want to read to you the word affliction. I looked it up. It says disorder. Many are the disorders. Many are the sufferings. Something that causes pain or suffering. He said, many are the things that causes pain and suffering. He said, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. And I've been where if God had not intervened in mine and Teresa's life, we would have been on the streets. I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. We would have been on the streets. But our God, He showed up. God quickened me to the scripture where it says, no man has left father and mother, lands, brothers and sisters, and lost anything, but he shall gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. Makes a separation of the things in this earth and eternal life. I was already born again. And I went and I stood on that scripture and I quoted it. I said, God, your word, there's what Teresa was talking about this morning of being doers of God's word and not just hearing it. I knew the word. I've been preaching it for 20 years, 15 years before then. I knew the word, but it's not just knowing, it's doing. It's doing. God will bring, you need to know. You need to read your Bible. Read it and pray and say, God, reveal this to me, Lord. Reveal your word to me. But then when you're walking and God brings a word, a thought to you about a scripture while you're walking, then you lay hold of that. God put it on my heart this morning, so y'all get ready. And I was reading two or three chapters of Acts yesterday and about the day of Pentecost and this and that, and after Jesus, and then they get on, they come in on the scene there, and then they begin to give them trouble because they're preaching in the name of Jesus, right? They begin to, how many knows they give Jesus a little trouble, a little bit of trouble too? They crucified him. They begin to give him a little bit of trouble. And I read it, and when I got there, I've read it. If I've read it once, I've read it a thousand or more than that times over the 30 years I've been serving God. I've read it a bunch. But it never was quickened to me, this part. He told the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, you have heard their threatenings. He said, now grant us, he said, grant us boldness. Grant us boldness. Grant your servants boldness that we may speak the word. He said, Lord, and stretch down your hand to heal. And then when they prayed that, the Bible says that the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the word with boldness. And the Lord said, I want you to believe that for your church. And so I told the Lord this morning, so y'all just watch out when you begin to get bold. When you begin to get bold in your home, because I'm gonna show you some stuff. This is not even my sermon. I'm just laying a little bit, and I'm going to give you some scripture. And I'm going to uncover some things of the enemy that we need to know. I'm not one bit afraid of Satan, but I ain't got him whooped in your life. I can't whip him in your life. Your life, your life, yours. I got him whipped in mine. He is under my feet, and I don't let him out. When he comes against me, I resist him. The Bible says that Satan went to Jesus, and he could find no place. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help me come to the place. You got to want to come to the place to where when the devil comes to you, he finds nothing. I begin to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me come to that place, God, where when the enemy comes, whether it's through fear, whether it's through, temptation, whether it's through finance, no matter what it's from God, help me come to the place to where he finds nothing when he comes to my house. See, I've got him whipped concerning me. I done put him under my feet. Jesus stripped him of all power, and he gave me and you, Chris, power over him. That's simple. The word says it. So what? That when he comes to me, that means that I have to take dominion over him. If I take the dominion that Jesus has already gave me, he stripped him, he whipped him, he defeated him, he revealed him, and he says, look, he's nothing. You've been transferred out of the power of darkness. See, we were controlled by sin and darkness before we came to Jesus Christ. If we have not come to Jesus Christ today, we are bound in sin. You might not be smoking, drinking, sexing. You may not. You're bound in sin. We're born into sin. And the Bible says in Galatians 3 that Christ redeemed me from sin, from the curse of it. See, the curse of sin, the wages of sin is death. spiritual destruction, spiritual blindness, all of that stuff. See, I don't desire to commit adultery anymore. Why? I've got love in my heart towards God, right? Love fulfills all the commands not to commit adultery. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. You ain't got to make yourself. You can hold those standards for a few weeks. But you're looking for longevity, growing and going and getting established on the rock like Teresa was talking about, on that solid foundation that when the storms of life, and they will come to your house, when the storms of life come, you're sitting there like Jesus. You're just like Jesus. You're like, none of these things are moving me. Well, these things, these unwelcomed circumstances in our life are our opportunities to develop faith, confidence in the Lord, watching Him year after year, week after week, bring breakthroughs. He brought one breakthrough when I was fixing to lose everything. They had done sent me into quick foreclosure, told me to move out of my house, we'll sell it quick, and we'll pay whatever, and then anything's owed, you will owe after that. That's not a good deal. Where am I going to live? I got my house. Something. Well, anyways, God moved in one instance. All it takes is one move of God in your life, and that battle is over. You will see that enemy no more. He moved one time in mine and Teresa's life, and we never got behind again on anything after that. We actually begin to believe God, and the hope and the faith begin to rise again, that there's hope at the end of every trial. I hadn't experienced him that deep, Richard, but that deep trial caused me, you will either run from him and leave church and leave the things of God, or it will be you will go deeper. This world demands you to go deeper. It's wanting you out. It is wanting you back to itself. Satan, he is the god of this world. He uses the things on this planet, distraction, kids. I got grandkids, I put them in their place. I've got spiritual kids. I keep y'all in your place, out of my life. You know, we sang that song, "No none go with me, yes I will follow. Though none go with me, yes I will follow. Though none," I'm not a singer, but I'm anointed right now. Especially without a guitar or something. See, I made up my mind, with or without you, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. I'm nothing on your part. I've made up my mind, with or without you, I'm going to do the ministry. I done made up my mind, but God, if God be for me, who can be a, you got to do it too. It's not got nothing to do with you, a minister. It's not got nothing to do with or without that. Every one of us are commissioned to be soldiers in the army of the Most High God. Every one of us are commissioned and anointed by the Holy Ghost of power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Every one of us has the anointing of the Holy Ghost on us to give and see it be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, because our God is a good, good God. He tries to come torment my mind and keep me awake at night. And I don't sit there, "Oh, Satan, would you please? Would you please?" Man, if I have to, I'll get up and give him a good dose of Holy Ghost preaching in the middle of my bedroom if I need to. I went down on the streets one time down there, and down in the city to the homeless. Y'all want ministry? You'll come home and you can't get the stink out of your nose for about 3 weeks. They ain't had a bath in years. Living in cardboard boxes. I can take you to them right now. You think you're in tough shape? I can take you down where they're freezing every night, and they're burning up in the summer and all of that. We got them homeless. We got some of them drifting up around in here. We ought to be home praising God that we're warm, that we got a house. Glory to God, that His glory is real. Hallelujah. Praise God. Went down there and he's out there and he's talking. He's doing warfare in the air. And I walked over to him and I said, "What are you doing?" I knew, "What are you doing?" "I'm fighting them demons." I said, "Well, look, you're going to have to give your heart to Jesus." I said, they're gonna get you to hurt yourself. See, y'all ain't seen this realm. It's real. I've actually seen a guy melt and melt down to the in the jail and melt down and turn into a liquid and bounce over and hit a wall, come back up in front of me, and I'm like, "Whoa! Whoa!" I went over and I told that dude, I said, What are you doing?" He said, I'm doing warfare against these demons. I said, "You're fighting them all day. All night. I'm fighting them. And I told him, I said, "Did you know those demons has done been whipped by Jesus Christ?" I said, Did you know that you don't have to fight them demons? I said, "Did you know that they can't do nothing to you?" They done made theirself real to him, though. He doesn't believe in it. See, that's one of the things the thief does. Put that scripture up there, Beth. It's time to switch gears. John 10. "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." Hallelujah. See, now one of the things the thief, talking about Satan, the thing about him is, he tries to get you to believe what he says. Lies. You're not going to prosper. You've got to fight the devil. You ain't got to fight him. You resist him. Right? He's already. No, you don't. You can't win a battle that you're not supposed to be fighting. You can't win. So I went over and I told him, I said, "Listen. I said, you're not supposed to be fighting these demons." I said, "These demons have been whipped by Jesus Christ." I said, "But I've got to get you to submit to Him. Are you born again? Have you been born again? Have you give your heart to Jesus Christ?" I wasn't trying to pull it out of him, but I'm letting him know these don't have to go, but praise God, or they would have done went. Unless you are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus and the blood has been applied to your life. He wouldn't let me pray for him. So I went on. I said, "Okay, praise the Lord. Just keep fighting them. Maybe you'll make it one day." "I don't let his tormenting thoughts come to me. I have before." Teresa on the internet. Come in. I've been delivered from being jealous, right? It's fear. If you're jealous, you're walking in fear. You don't feel confident about yourself. We call it jealous down here. It's a competitive spirit. You have to compete for your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You are given in to demonic forces, whether you realize it or you don't. You don't have to compete. You go after the will of God and you trust God and there is no competition there. I had to put it under my feet with God's doors, Teresa, and everything else. That is where me and you will have to develop and grow. It may not be your wife or your husband, but it may be somebody being successful. It may be somebody having a better looking girlfriend than yours or a better looking boyfriend than yours. Y'all even not have boyfriend and girlfriends till you get up old enough to get married. That's terrible. What y'all gonna do at 8? Right? You ain't thinking about kids. Mention kids to Aubrey, she's living. "Oh, yeah, Papa, when I get married one day," but she ain't thinking about, "Let's do it now." Hallelujah. Me and Travis chose not to let Travis have those battles. He started them in his own head. Watching Will Smith. Got some of his little stuff from Will Smith. But the word thief, a person who steals a person's property. There's been things given to us through Jesus. We'll read about him in a minute, but the Lord told me to, he wanted me to point out some things about the thief. The thief is a person who steals another's property. So I begin to think about a thief. I used to be one. I wouldn't break in your car while you was there. Aware. If I broke in your car or house, I wanted to make sure you was gone. See, the thief, Satan, you know, he wants to take possession. He wants you to give him possession of your faith, of your confidence, of your worship. He wants you, and he's going to lie to you. How a thief is a liar. A thief likes to come in secretly. The thief usually don't like force or violence. I wasn't looking for it. Man, I'd have Preston watching on the riverbank while I robbed the cars. I didn't want to fight. I just want to steal. See what I'm saying? And thank you, Lord, taking that stupid experience, bringing it over here where I can see the enemy real clear. He ain't going to come up and say, okay, when you get home this afternoon, you're going to start believing because you're going to have this thought that Teresa is talking to somebody on the internet because she's on it every time you come home. He didn't tell me that, Johnny. I just walked in and had the thought. And then I begin to accuse her. Are you? What do you mean? And then before you know it, we're... Not good. What am I doing? I am yielding to what I done been delivered from. I'm yielding back to the bondage that I believe God to free me from. When I didn't want to be jealous anymore. I was miserable. It was making Teresa miserable. She loved me, but she couldn't love on me. I was pushing her away. The thief usually don't like force or violence. I didn't say they didn't, but usually. A thief wants to take without getting caught. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Now, what ways does Satan sometimes come to us to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy? One is false prophets. False prophets. There's doctrines out there about grace that's not right. We gotta be balanced. We gotta, like Teresa was talking about. I heard doctrines out there out of ministers back yonder, and I'm not trying to judge them and all of that. And that's their business, and they are where they are, and I am where I am. And they're nowhere near where I am. But they would say, and you can't believe the stuff. God put sickness on you. God allows things to happen, you know, to teach you. You would be surprised at the people that I have ministered to over 30 years and got them to see the truth concerning that through the scriptures. God teaching you through tragedy and all of that is not scriptural. I'm not saying you can't learn through your hardship, and he'll help you, and he can, and he will minister to you through it, but he don't bring bad things to us to teach us. The Bible says very clearly that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, right? The Word and the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, you've got them that teach against prosperity. These are part of the thief's plan. To get you not to believe that God wants you to prosper. To get you not to believe the scripture that God wants you to be blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and broke all the things that had to be done that you could attain to that in the Old Testament, and brought Jesus Christ, the new covenant of love, hallelujah, and said, now it's in Him. It's in Him. I've got a good marriage today when statistics said we wouldn't make it 40 years. Me and her thought we wouldn't make it. But this God that we put our hands in, He's able, the Bible says, to do abundantly above, greater than you can ask or think. See, y'all young guys and girls, you know, don't go out in this life trying to find the right one. And maybe it'll work out. And this will just be the chance that I'll take. And I've just got to flee from my present bars. My present life. We all feel that way. Whether you're down here or up here. We all feel that go forward drawing on the inside of us to succeed. See, Satan, this thief right here, sets them up. I love you. No, they want you. They love how you make them feel. Or they want you to do for them. When it comes to sacrifice, they'll leave you. Right? They're not it. Now, I borrowed a car to run away with Teresa. And I didn't care. I lied to my brother, and I didn't tell him I'm leaving the state because I'm leaving the state. So I went and borrowed his car. And I'm ready to sacrifice. This is before Christ. I went and borrowed a car and picking her up, and we're moving, we're leaving, we're going to Georgia somewhere, we're starting over. So I borrowed my brother's car, and I said, well, I don't know when I'll get it back. And he said, well, that's fine. But I thought you may not ever. I may sell it while I'm over there without a title. I don't care. I didn't care. Me and her gonna be together. But see, it was the money at that time. Because he was getting us to go in all the wrong ways to have what we desired. See, that's what he'll do to you if you're not careful. We didn't realize just a couple of years we'll be old enough they can't tell us nothing. Just wait it out. But no, I gotta go to jail. She's a minor. I'm fixing to be 18. Now she's a minor. And I thought, well, but God, they'll have to catch me. We know how to sleep behind the supermarket. I know how to live on. I can live off the land, baby. We lived in the land up there when I would. I'll take her in the woods, and but God, the cops don't. They won't get out of the car, so they won't find us. Satan, give me all of these stupid stuff. But you know what? We couldn't stay together. We made a lot of mistakes, a lot of hurts in our life. You know, dating and marriage and all of that without Jesus. See, one thing the thief is really, really, really tries to do is to get people to try to live their lives without God. Just try to get you to live without God. Just live without Him. Just don't give your heart to Jesus. This is going to mess your life up. He'll tell you. He'll lie to you. And he'll cause you to look at Christians and say, well, they're not having no fun. You just don't know the joy that we have in the battles. You just don't know how the peace that we have knowing that our son's going to make it. You just don't know. All of that can't be bought really or seen because it's inward. You know? But he tries very hard to get you to try to live without Jesus, you know, as a Christian, seeking Him, acknowledging Him, having Him involved in your financial world, giving. I'm telling you, I almost did it this morning. I'm not a broke man. And I thought, God, that missionary gave me a good example of those broke people over in Mexico in 1996 or whenever it was, when I went over there, and they're so broke, they can't, I mean, they're broke, they're poor. I mean, I went to the city dumps down there where the kids are getting half a hamburgers, where they bring the garbage trucks from the rich cities over there to the garbage place down there and dump them, where me and you will eat a half a hamburger or a half a cheeseburger or something, and then we throw it away. And those kids were getting those, and that's their food. And I'm there, and I'm like, glory to God. I thought, we got to have to do something about this. I mean, this is terrible. This is terrible. I thought, man, God can make this an oasis over here. God can take this dump and turn ashes into beauty. You know? And so I'm thinking that, you know, I'm only 28, but I'm experiencing this over there because I'm serving God. I'm on the mission field at that moment. You know, and so anyways, we build this church, and then he brings a wheelbarrow in. I started to do it this morning, but it's hard for me to do it here because y'all got money. Anyways, he brings this wheelbarrow in, you know, and he tells them, he said, everybody give. Everybody bring an offering tomorrow. Everybody bring an offering tomorrow. And I thought, whoa, here we go. These broke people. This is what they need, an opportunity to give out of their need. And so he brought it the next day, man, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, glory to God. And they were so happy. They were thrilled. You know, they come up to me, and they were telling me. They were talking. I couldn't understand, so I had to get an interpreter. I said, come over here and tell me what they're saying. Hurry. They're over there, they're on their knees, man, and they think we're angels. We built that church in one day that they had done give up on and believing. They was having church under limbs and stuff, and when it rained, they got wet and all that. Church ain't like it is here for them over there in those poor places. Well, anyways, it was a miracle to them. Like that, and they're saying, you're angels. And I said, no, stop them. I said, no. I said, you tell them that we are just servants of the God that sent us to build this. We are not angels. And so he told them, I said, get up. Tell them to get up. Don't worship us. Get up. Minded me of them in the book of Acts. And he said, why you look on us like we done all this, man? The one that has come in us has done all of this. These great and mighty works, hallelujah. Well, I started to do it this morning. I know we're running a little late. We got prayer and praise this evening, but we can get it out. I could see me coming up here, and I said, God, I said, if there's anybody in that church, if you want me to, God, I'll ask them. And I believe that I can do it with all honesty because we're not liars. I did it one time. Teresa, being funny, raised her hand up. Like she's broke. You want me to give her some money. No, like, whatever. But I thought, I'm going to tell them, is anybody in here broke? You ain't got not one dime to your name. And I was going to do it before tithes and offerings. And the hands that went up, I was going to tell them, get up here. Get up here. Come on up here. Give them $100 apiece. And tell them, go back to your brothers and sisters and get it busted up because that's all I got. I don't like them 20s and stuff, so that's what you're getting. So go get it all busted up and tithe on the offering that God just gave you. Give him 10%. And then if you need something above in your life, sow a seed. Get you. So I just had to tell you about it. That would have been exciting, wouldn't it? But he says the thief cometh not. He tries to get you not to acknowledge God. All of y'all young folk, I'm not begging you. I'm warning you. Do not be desperate for somebody. Don't be desperate. There ain't too many going to qualify for my granddaughter. If Travis had been a girl, it would have been a lot different. If you come in like an egg-shaped head, you're not it. With a mohawk. Can't even, you got to look both ways. I'd be like, nah. I don't believe that's the Lord. Hallelujah. You got a good heart. I'm being funny, making it a little extreme. But I told Aubrey, and she thinks she believes me because I do what I say. But Papa's going on your first date with you. I told her, I said, you're going to be driving because I'm going to teach her how to drive, man, Travis. I'm going to teach her how to drive. You're going to be driving, and Papa's going to sit right here, and he's going to sit over here. And we're going on a date. See, why am I doing that? Because I don't want her mind like the world, what a date is. Right? She's not going to fight battles. Some of our young ladies has the face, and young men, some of the girls are worse than the boys. Jesus. Teresa taught me into getting married. We're getting married. And I'm like, okay. We're running away. And I'm like, okay. Now she tells me, Chris, years later when I'm following God, she tells me, well, we need to just load up and leave. I said, we're not going. There's a difference now. Why can't we do like we used to be? Because I'm a man. I've got the boldness of Jesus now. You was talking me into getting married and we were too young. Talking me into running away. And then we're going to go up because we ain't getting our way up on Palisades and we're going to hold hands and jump off together. We're just going to end it where we can be together. Can't you see the devil convincing us when we were young teenagers because we got some rules and things it seems like that we can't do like we want to do? Listen, I'm telling you, praise God, you are always going to be subject to rules. I don't care if you are 5 or you are 90. You are, Travis. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. And I told him, I said, oh, yes, they will. I said, Alabama Power is going to tell you every month what you're going to do. You're going to have lights. And they're going to send you a bill, and you can rebuke it all day in Jesus' name. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Or you can go to the grocery store, and you can tell them, I'm here to buy me some groceries by faith. They're going to say, what? What's that? We believe that Jesus supplies all of our needs according to his riches. They're going to say, 911, we got a lunatic. Then you're going to go to jail and then everybody's going to have it on Facebook. You don't need a newspaper now. Nita went to jail. I'm just making it. Nita went to jail trying to pay for her groceries by faith over there. Goes to that loon church. That faith way. Christian Center over there. They think faith is everything. No, we believe Jesus is there. So don't be flaky. But Jesus come that we have life and have it more abundant. That word abundant, and I'm going to close with this. That word abundant means to the full, till it overflows, nothing broken, nothing missing. Nothing. Not your relationship with God. See, he wants to destroy mine, your relationship, Satan does, Richard. He would like to. We're men, you'd be enemies the rest of our lives. For all of us. He likes to destroy relationships with parents and with kids and grandkids. And I had a revelation one time. I come and I give it to Johnny. I had a revelation that Jesus didn't have a father in the natural. He had a stepfather. So I thought, wow, that's great. So I told Johnny, I said, you're not the first stepdad. Joseph was. Did I know? Jesus was born from above, right? It wasn't born by Joseph. That was his stepdaddy, hallelujah. So thank God for stepdads if you got one. Don't get it in that mentality, oh, I'm not going to ever call him daddy. Oh, now you ain't going to make me call him daddy. I ain't calling him daddy. I ain't calling her mama. Nobody asked you to. Satan's trying to get you to get rebellion towards what God's trying to bring a blessing into your life. If I was a stepdad, I wouldn't want him to call me daddy. I'd go tell him I'm not your daddy. But God, I'm your stepdaddy. I'm a step above. I'm just a little step above, because your daddy might let you buy with things your stepdaddy is not going to let you buy with. I'm praying for some bold stepdaddies, bold stepmamas, not mean and rough, those that have a boldness that knows the future of their kids and their grandkids and their stepkids that is going to be good in God. So today, if you're not right with Jesus Christ, it's not about this church. This church building can't heal you. We can't heal you. The healer is Jesus. But if you're here in this place, all heads bowed, eyes closed, please. If you're here,